Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Good morning, everyone. I am so happy to be here today with Dr. Marnie. Dr. Marnie, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Maria, thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
It's totally my pleasure. So to start with, please introduce yourself to our audience.
Well, sure. I'm an author of many books. And prior to that, I was a high school special education teacher for 35 years. Wow. And so now I live in the Caribbean. I am really putting a concerted effort into silencing the mind cluck. So I really resonate with your mission.
Oh, thanks so much. Well, and I can imagine, I can just imagine that just being in the Caribbean would help.
Yeah, it does. It does. Although still, I think when we have thoughts that are ruminating in our heads, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, it's all you carry this with you. And, yeah. You know, and I'm sure as your listeners know, there's so many reasons why we perseverate on issues. And, you know, one really big thing that I have found is to understand gaslighting, because gaslighting, you know, is a tactic used by people to kind of get you to question your own reality and your own abilities and your worth. And so then you can just kind of go round and about, you know, of just trying to figure out what they mean by that or what is going on, or if you are making, you know, rational decisions for yourself. So
absolutely. I think probably everybody has experienced gaslighting in some point in their life. They might not recognize that they have. So I guess first question would be, well, and also what I wanted to add on to that is I think that gaslighting from someone else makes us gaslight ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I guess a question then would be, what would you recommend for figuring out, are you being gaslighted? Like, how do you know?
Well, you know, usually when people start to do a deep dive into trying to understand these kind of dynamics in your responses, it's after some sort of trauma in their life, somewhere where their safety and security was questioned and, you know, not as stable as you thought your reality was. And I experienced some very traumatic experiences all kind of at one time. It was almost like an avalanche of angst and anxiety. And, you know, there were so many different things happening at one time that, you know, I really did try to make sense of it all. And in trying to make sense of it all, you know, you replay scenarios in your mind, and then you also replay things that didn't even happen. Like, what if I should have done this? What if I responded this way instead of that way? So, you know, the gaslighting, of course, like you said, happens from other people doing that to you intentionally, just because there are malevolent people out there and they've got their own agenda, but we tend then to gaslight ourselves. So that's a good point that you make. But, you know, sometimes it just comes in clumps and you have to do things to really, first of all, realize and acknowledge, you know, your traumatic situation. And I have found personally that doing research, learning about it, getting information, putting terms and phrases and labels and names on different things actually helps you understand it more and then get you moving to the point where you can let it go and you can really move on, you know, little by little. It's baby steps. But I believe that the knowledge is power, and analyzing your own experience, but also tuning into the experience of others and maybe finding common similarities, connecting the dots to your own experience, I think that really helps quiet your mind, along with many other kinds of strategies to help you do that.
So can you give us a couple examples? So an example of when you gaslighted yourself and how did you recognize? Because I mean, I guess on some level we could say all mind cluck is some kind of gaslighting because it's your mind telling you things that often aren't true, that almost always make you feel lousy, even if you're in a good moment in life. So I like the idea of putting labels on things, but can you give us an example just to translate it all for our audience?
Well, sure. Like, for example, you know, there are people that have all sorts of challenges and adversity they face in their life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one way to try to understand is to kind of binge watch YouTube videos or devour anything that they can read about the situation in books or literature, you know, or blogs and that type of thing. And so I think at some point when you realize, oh, I've read this before or I've seen this before, and why am I rewatching it? You know, what is it that I need to try to quiet my mind to help me understand what's going on? I think that is kind of a signal to yourself when you realize, oh my gosh, it's a beautiful day outside and here I am taking this time and energy and focusing on, you know, really what is a negative situation, even though you're trying to make sense of it, when mm-hmm. really you could be taking that time, you know, for some self-healing and, you know, other types of activities that could take you away from all that chatter in your mind and open up your experiences to new adventures and happy memories and that type of thing.
Can you give us a specific example from something in your life? Like, it, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be something super deep, but I'm just curious. Can you give us an example of an experience you had and how you were able to quiet your mind?
Well, yes. And I, you know, the one example I'll give here is something that, you know, I think will always be a journey. I don't think that it's completely resolved because it involves the heartstrings and the love between a mother and child. And so, you know, after I chose to leave an abuser after 27 years, and have to, you know, come to terms with so many losses, even though it was my choice, I had no idea the repercussions. And one of the things that I eventually learned was part of my domestic violence was parental alienation. You know, in general, it's when one spouse, husband or wife or partner, it doesn't matter who, you know, is so angry at the ex for leaving them, you know, or finding out who their true colors really are, you know, they want to destroy that other parent, you know, in every way. And they take their home, their money, their support system to a smear campaign. Talk about gaslighting. They do that to your whole support system, you know, even workplace in that. But when they realize they can't break you, they try to see what means the most to you. And for so many of us loving parents, it's our children, you know? Mm-hmm. And so parental alienation is a strategy, a campaign of denigration where you get the children, young or adult, to align with them based on a false narrative, lies, and that sort of thing. So experiencing parental alienation was one of my times that, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to, first of all, understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Because in so many ways, it happens suddenly, you know, where, you know, your kids aren't returning your texts or your phone calls or your, and then eventually you're getting letters or gifts returned and, you know, It seems like it's a pretty sudden thing. However, after learning about all of this, learning about parental alienation, learning about personality disordered, you know, individuals that cause parental alienation, you realize that, no, that's been in the works for a long time.
Oh, I see.
And so the gaslighting, you know, and the rumination and the, you know, repeating the scenarios is something that happens when you're trying to really figure out and safety and security in your reality is just kind of taken from you immediately. You're left kind of shell-shocked. So that is a personal example of, you know, you would just think about it over and over and you try all different ways to reach out. And then sometimes abusers will even legally stop you from being able to tell your children you love them or wish them a Merry Christmas or whatever. And it's just mind-boggling. But at some point, like I said in the beginning, understanding the dynamic helps the healing and helps you go through the stages of grief and let go.
Yeah, I so understand that because by recognizing that the person who's doing this to you or the situation that you're in follows a particular pattern that can actually be seen and documented, then you can say, oh, I'm not nuts. You know, this really is all happening to me and I can stop blaming myself and beating myself up or whatever. I can stop my own mind clock because I recognize that this is really about the other person.
Right. And then when you also hear other people's stories, like when it comes to parental alienation, there are a number of wonderful dads and wonderful moms that have experienced this shocking situation, all different levels. You know, so many of them, the kids are young. And so the court battles and custody things.
Sure.
Well, it's just one trauma after another that didn't really sign up for this, you know? But understanding that, you know, just because you're an honest, loving, good person, you know, that, you know, is reasonable and you know, caring, you would never harm another person. Not everyone is wired that way. You know, sometimes you have to learn some hard lessons that some people that you thought, you know, had a certain personality were really very different. So to me, the knowledge is really powerful because, you know, then you realize you're not alone, you know, you're not crazy. It's something that really happens, you know, even though it seems unbelievable that it could happen. Understanding the dynamics of it, because there's a lot of research on it, that helps you put it in perspective and get to a point of at some point accepting the situation, realizing you can't control other people, nor do you want to. You can only control yourself and your response to things. And that includes how much you're going to let something take up space in your own head over and over. And you really could be, you know, living a life. And I, you know, I did make a very big change. You know, I was a high school teacher for 35 years in the Chicago suburbs. And I did make a big move to the Caribbean where I've been the last years. And I have found that the change of scenery for me was very, very healing. However, like I also said, it doesn't matter how far you move away, you still are dealing with the emotions within your own heart and your own head.
Sure. So when you experience mind cluck in a day-to-day kind of situation, what do you do? Do you have particular exercises that you go to, or what sort of your way, what are the ways that you use to quiet your own mind?
Well, you know, first of all, just being aware that you are, you know, ruminating on a topic, an issue. Just being aware is half the battle, I think. And then I believe that at some point you do need to get to where you consciously say to yourself, okay, I need to stop thinking about this. I need to focus on something else. Mm-hmm. Now, I personally love swimming in the ocean, which I do every day. So really when I'm immersed in the water, and I've always been kind of a water person, you know, I love my hot baths. You know, I love tropical vacations, you know, so much so that I decided to move to paradise.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find when I take myself and, you know, off land and put myself in water and with my snorkel, and I can look at all the variety of beautiful creatures and things in the ocean. I mean, that really distracts me in a very positive way. And yeah. I think, and I hike the rainforest, and I, you know, so I use my surroundings. I have organic gardens. You know, I try to focus on some of those things. So I believe distraction is something that, you know, you can consciously do. In fact, I wrote a 5-book series called True Deceit, False Love.
Okay.
And it's about surviving some of these family traumas and stuff. Uh-huh. The fifth book in the series is a word search puzzle book.
Oh, and interesting.
It is a very unique and creative way to distract yourself while you're still kind of trying to understand your situation and learn the terminology. I found that even doing a simple word search puzzle can just, you know, get your mind moving in a different direction. So you're taking a traumatic situation, you're still learning about it, learning the words, but you're doing a word search. You're using another part of your brain to kind of just step away from the trauma. And I, that book actually ended up being a bestseller, which was surprising to me because there are the 4 other books in the series I thought, you know, would resonate, you know, more with a wider audience. And I know it has, but the word search puzzle has really hit a chord with someone. And I think with a number of people, and I think it's because we all in our learning and trying to understand at least this kind of family trauma and dynamic, we need to distract ourselves a little bit. We need to have a tangible outlet. And I think creative responses, whether it's being in nature, whether it's making something, all that really helps you heal and helps you get your mind focused on other things.
I think that's so true, because I think part of when you're processing a difficult situation or when you're in a difficult situation, you have to take breaks from it. If you don't take breaks from it, it becomes just unbearable. And doing a word puzzle, doing an art project, cooking a special meal, taking a walk, going for a swim, you know, there's a million different things you can do, but it's just a way to like step away from it. And I love that your word puzzle is also educating at the same time, but you can also just step away doing whatever kind of word puzzle because you got to give your mind a break. And one of the things that I love is that we can only have one thought at a time, so you can choose a different thought.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're stuck in this like, oh my gosh, I'm in this terrible relationship, or I hate my boss, or whatever it might be. And you can be stuck in there perseverating and ruminating and thinking like, oh, there's just nothing else. And then it's like, nope, let's take a break from that and do something else. And it just like unlocks things and things start to move again. At least that's been my experience.
Most definitely. And I feel that, you know, we can control our thoughts. You know, sometimes we have to make a conscious effort to change our thoughts, but we can control them. And what we put out in the world, you know, is kind of what comes back to us. So if we're putting out negativity and being a victim or blaming others for our circumstances, whether it's in relationships, you know, whether it's in the work environment, whether it's just, you know, our living arrangements, whatever it is, we're not taking ownership of our situation. And, you know, we're putting out negative when really we'll get back negative. So I'm really a big believer in staying true to my values and my integrity of honesty and love and compassion and forgiveness, no matter what challenges come my way. And I think with that kind of attitude of gratitude, you know, I'm able to look at situations and make some better decisions for myself. Sometimes the decisions are to put up a more healthy boundary and decide, be a little bit more discerning about who you let in your life, who you keep in your life, what situations you want to put yourself into or not. And so, you know, being grateful, but having an attitude that, you know, hey, we're learning here on earth, this life lesson,
yeah.
Everyday life lesson. But we have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit, because we can't control, like I said, we can't control other people and other situations, but we can control how we want to handle it and respond to it. And getting the mind cluck, you know, under control is part of that journey.
What would you say to somebody who thinks, well, I don't feel like I can control my thoughts? I feel like when I'm stuck worrying or ruminating about something, it's just like, how do I stop doing that? So distraction is one way, but for someone who thinks like, well, I can go take a walk, but I'm still going to think about it. Nice. Do you have other suggestions?
Well, one thing that really worked for me was writing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, I didn't set out to become an author as a second career after retiring. Mm-hmm. But I found writing to be very healing. And actually, there's a lot of research that shows, you know, getting these bottled up emotions that are in our hearts and minds out of our body and onto a page is very therapeutic. That's why, you know, journaling or keeping a diary has been popular for centuries. I never was anyone who really did that. I was more kind of active in my distractions or whatever. But now I have really found writing to be very healing because, and then in that 5-book series, True Deceit, False Love, I actually have a survivor's workbook. If someone feels that maybe writing would be beneficial to them to get some of these emotions out of themselves, out of their bodies and on the page, you know, it's doing some kind of acrostic poetry is a nice kind of segue into, you know, really releasing some of this trauma. So I have actually, that's a tangible thing that someone could do. You know, certainly there's meditation, there's exercise, there's prayer. But, you know, if you go into that with the mindset that you are going to try to focus your energies on what you have and the positives and, you know, actually even manifest, visualize that your situation, whatever it is resolved. And I know that's easier said than done, especially like if your trauma is something in the workplace where, you know, you're wanting a promotion and there's a lot of competition and, you know, but you might have people at your workplace, colleagues that are kind of sabotaging you. And you never know, you know, that workplace could be very toxic and it could be something that, you know, you have to get up and go to every day and face.
Yeah.
That could be challenging, but we can control our thoughts. And so try to look at the positives and manifest what you want. You know, try to visualize, you know, how you would like to see things play out. Another thing, in addition to writing, I learned to write to make a vision board. And so like just on a poster board, you know, just put out some pictures in magazines or draw pictures or print out pictures, whatever, just to have something visual that you can look at that will be moving forward towards your peace and happiness, towards your goals, towards when, you know, you think everything, you know, that the grass will be greener. And it might be greener, but it might not. But you can at least, you know, try to put it out there of that's a tangible thing that you can do to try to, if distraction doesn't really work for you.
Yeah. Another thing that I found helpful is to try to be almost like an observer. So observing the whole situation as opposed to being in it, taking a step back backwards that way, I find that can be very helpful as well.
Right. In fact, there's one of the influencers in the abuse recovery that has coined a term called observe, don't absorb.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So I do like your idea of sometimes just stepping back and removing yourself from the situation. And, you know, it's not like you always have to take action steps.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes the thing to do is take a step back and just assess And then right. you can move forward.
Right. And sometimes, like with toxic relationships, no closure is your closure. So yeah. sometimes you do need to just kind of realize, okay, something is not healthy for me. It might be for them. They're getting whatever supply they need from me, but it's not working for me. And so many of us feel that we need to be on the same ground and kind of mm-hmm. explain what we are doing, when really taking a step back is actually a very healthy way. You know, you avoid saying something that you would regret, you know, yeah. and actually sometimes your silence speaks volumes.
Right. And sometimes the answer is you need to remove yourself from the situation mm-hmm. and just end it. And getting to a point where you actually give yourself permission to do that and saying, you know what, I've taken a step back. I see what this is. This is not going to work and I'm not going to do it anymore.
Right.
And that is really powerful.
It is. And I've gotten to that point. I believe I've progressed to that level because mm-hmm. It is a journey that doesn't happen overnight. And that's kind of where that gaslighting comes back in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you really question, wait a minute, I've known this person my whole life, mm-hmm. you know, or this person is my family member. Can I really give myself permission to step back? Am I being, you know, the negative person that I believe they are, you know, when mm-hmm. really, no, that's not true.
Right.
You are protecting yourself. And I think we do get to a point in our lives where we need to put our oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
Before we help others, we need to fill our cup so that we have enough to help others and to respond to others. And if we don't, then we're coming from, you know, a place of lack, a place of
yeah.
negativity. And that's not very healthy.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately that's, you're coming from a place where you're disempowered as opposed to a place where you're empowered.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, is there anything that you would like to share with our audience before we wrap up? This has all been so interesting. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I love your platform. I think it's great for people to tune in and get ideas from yeah. other people of what works for them to silence right. the mind clock that's in their heads. You know, I would just say to your audience, you know, we all have challenges in our lives.
Yeah.
Your challenge might look very different than some of the things I talked about. Needless to say, we all have adversity and challenges, and it's a very natural human emotion for many of us to just mm-hmm. think about it and rethink it and play yeah. out scenarios. And there are strategies you can do to quiet your mind. And, you know, I think finding your passions are very important. I personally believe writing, that has worked mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just make a conscious decision to acknowledge and learn about what it is that is upsetting you so much.
Yeah.
Like I said, I had like an avalanche of adversity. It all happened at one time. So the trauma was just significant. I had to, you know, find my way through, you know, this, you know, challenging life obstacle that mm-hmm. I was with. So knowledge, arm yourself with information, you know, reach out for resources and help, but mm-hmm. realize that so much is within your own control. You have the power within you to change what you think about.
Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on today, Dr. Marnie. I'm so grateful for all that you've shared and, yeah, thanks a million.
Well, thank you so much. You have a great platform and, you know, you're just doing big things just to have these candid conversations to help people in their life journey. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So to our audience, hope you enjoyed this and thanks so much for listening. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of Mind Clock clucking up your days? Book
a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.